Grab a copy of God's Word and turn with me to Luke chapter 1 as we resume this series, Luke to Jesus. And we're going to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago in chapter 1, verse 39, and we'll read down to verse 45. We'll pray and ask God to bless our time together and see what he would have to teach us from his word this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to ask for your blessing to rain down on us yet again as we open our hearts and our eyes and our ears and turn to you to show us your grace and your mercy that you've displayed in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask that your Spirit will teach us and guide us into the truth of your word and conform our thoughts, our speech, and our behavior to him who is able. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just to catch you up to speed and to kind of remind you, the last few times that we were looking to Jesus in Luke chapter 1, we met two people. Couldn't be that far in, so far apart in terms of their status in life. The first one was Zacharias, who was a priest who served God, and he encounters a messenger, Gabriel, an angel from the Lord, who tells him that he would have a child, a miracle would happen in his life. And then we met Mary, virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph, who so happens to be cousins with Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, who received the same kind of message and received it with faith. And here we are in verse 39. Mary hears this message, which is impossible for man to happen. A virgin has never conceived a child before. It's impossible biologically to do that by any human means. Yet, God's power is able to do the impossible. That's what we saw 2 weeks ago. And she receives that in faith. And not only has she received that in faith, but she has heard that this power has already been displayed in the life of her relative, Elizabeth, who has passed the years of conception, and she was already biologically deemed unable to have children, but God's power is that powerful, and she has now been pregnant for 6 months. So she hears this news. And this is where we pick it up in verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. So she runs. She finds out God's power is on display in the life of her relative. And do you notice that she doesn't just say, okay, I'll take your word for it, and I'll just wait until it happens to me? Come and see was a very common term that the early disciples of Jesus, and we'll look at that, would use. Come and see. They have seen the power of Jesus. They have seen the power of God. And they invited others to take a look at it. So when God comes to Mary through his angel, she doesn't sit still, if I can get it out. She doesn't just have this passive attitude towards what God has spoken to her. She responds with action. There's a response that is expected from those who would receive God's word and faith. And I think this is really important for us, especially for us that are young, for you all, should I say. Not that I'm too old. Don't agree with me. Who say that you are a believer? Who say that you have actually received Jesus? Who say that you believe that what you read in the Bible is true, and yet haven't went with haste to Jesus, to his word, to see if what he said is true? It's almost like you haven't dared him. Like, have you dared to see? There used to be, and I'm kind of aging myself here, there used to be this campaign in the public schools called DARE. And I don't know if it's still around. But it's to prevent drugs and addiction within the public schools. So it's like dare to be different. Dare to rise above the influence and the peer pressure of drugs. So to dare was to rise above the occasion. Can I ask you, have you dared to trust Jesus at his word and gone to him and clung to his words? Have you dared to go beyond what your comfort zone is? Now, Mary could have done this, by the way. She could have heard the message from Gabriel, who told her, hey, by the way, your relative Elizabeth, she's with child too. In fact, she's 6 months pregnant. She's like, oh, okay. That's cool. She could have sent messengers. But instead, she gets up and went with haste. She didn't waste any time. But that's not the main point. Let's continue to read. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Let me stop right there. I want you to look down at your Bibles in verse 41. When Elizabeth, the mother who was pregnant, heard the greeting of Mary, what does it say? The baby leaped in her womb. I'm pausing here to speak to our culture for 1 second. It's a baby. It's a human being. It's not a combination of a bunch of random collection of cells. In fact, it says, he, the baby, leaped. Emotions, joy was felt in the mother's womb. So don't let the culture tell you that it's not a baby. And therefore, you can do whatever you want to do with it. According to God's word, abortion is a sin. If you deal with that conversation in your schools, in your context, wherever you deal with it, here is God's word telling us what the woman has in her womb is a human being formed in the image of God, is able to respond emotionally, spiritually even in this case, even when the baby is inside the mother's womb. So it's not your body, your choice. Okay. Back in our text. I just wanted to address that. Because I know the pressure is out there. I know you may have this conversation. I know you might even be tempted down the line to think that way and to say, oh, you know, after all, no. God's word defines what happens in the mother's womb as a baby, a human being. But you already know that. I just want to stress the fact. And then she travels, she greets the baby, jumps in the womb. Nothing uncommon is happening, right? A relative comes to your house, you say hi, they say hi back. Nothing uncommon happens. However, what happens in the end of verse 41 is where we have the main point of our text today. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the third time that this filling, this overshadowing of the Holy Spirit has been mentioned in Luke's account of the narrative of Jesus. So I want us to also define what it means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Every time we see this term, filled with the Holy Spirit, like John back in chapter 1, go back to chapter 1 and verse 13. When the angel said to Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Verse 15, he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine, a strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Later on, when Mary in verse 34 asked the angel, how would this be that I would conceive since I'm a virgin? The angel's answer was this: the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is the power of God controlling. Being filled with the Holy Spirit simply means the power of God controlling your life, controlling your speech, controlling every part of your being, controlling your emotion even. Right? This baby who was filled by the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, John, when he heard Mary's words, Mary's greeting, leaped for joy. That's an emotional term. He was happy. So the Holy Spirit filling you means the Holy Spirit controlling you. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Paul describes this in a very vivid way. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So you see here, to be filled by the Spirit is to walk by the Spirit. That means you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That means what you want to do is controlled by the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to lay that out and define for you, because there's this assumption where we are lacking those who have looked to Jesus and have trusted in His lordship and His saving work. We see ourselves as a cup or a bucket, maybe. And then there's a level of measure of the Spirit that we are missing. So we are like a quarter tank. And then, like, the Holy Spirit fills us up and makes us a full tank, so to speak. That's not the image that's presented to us here. And the evidence of that is what she does after that. She is filled by the Holy Spirit, not as if she was empty, and now she all of a sudden has this tank gauge that tells her it's full. But what she does is she breaks out into a song. One of five songs in this chapter, in this book, in fact. Now next week we'll see Mary's song, and Kal would bring that forth to us. She exclaimed, verse 42, she exclaimed with a loud cry. That's another way of saying she sang at the top of her lungs. What did she sing about? What was this song about? When the Holy Spirit fills you, when the Holy Spirit controls you, doesn't necessarily mean you break out in songs all the time. But the message of the song is what I want us to look at. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why does she say that Mary, her younger cousin, is blessed? Well, the answer is actually in verse 45. Because she believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Happiness and joy is what the word blessed means. To be blessed biblically means to have fulfillment, to have happiness, to have joy, to have satisfaction. To have a level of contentment, if you will. Who gets to experience this Spirit-filled joy? Well, verse 45 tells us, she who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. If you don't believe what God tells you, if you don't receive it with faith, you won't be satisfied. You'll always be searching for other means, for other things besides what God said. And that's really one of the biggest tools or weapons that Satan has. And he's been playing that same card from the beginning. Remember? In Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent, used by Satan, had a conversation with yet another woman named Eve, the first woman. Do you remember what he asked? Has God really said that if you eat from this fruit, you will die? Do you notice that playbook? Has God really said that trusting in Jesus alone for your salvation? Has God really said to trust him about fill in the blank? Has God really, is God really there? Is God even real? Has God really shown up in the time of your need? Is your life really secure? Can you really, has God, every time he comes against what God has spoken and then says, if God was really, really real, he would have done this. I mean, we'll take a look at it later. Jesus, after his baptism, goes into the wilderness and gets tempted. Matthew chapter 4 gives us this insight. 40 days and 40 nights he fasts, and then 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, that's a lot of not eating anything in the wilderness. I haven't eaten anything since last night, and I'm hungry right now. And he comes in and he tempts him. Is what God says true? Is God able to make that come to pass? Would he fulfill his promises? That's the battlefield, if you will. That's where the enemy comes to meet you in every way. Has God really said that you should keep yourself pure? Has God really said that sexual immorality is a sin? Or does everybody else do it? And therefore, it's okay. Because, you know, Jesus died for you too. Has God really said that you shouldn't cheat because it's considered stealing on your exam, right? Is God going to be faithful to his word? If you believe that, if you hold on to that in faith, if you look to Jesus because you have this spirit-filled attitude that the Spirit of God is controlling you, that you're walking in the Spirit so that you're not gratifying the desires of your flesh. Because what is the desire of your flesh? You want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. I guarantee you the desire of your flesh is right now to just get up, walk out, and go to the ping pong, the game room, and play ping pong, or go to the other room and get on your phone and scroll your life away. That is a desire of your flesh. Or whatever else it is that you want to do. But to be controlled by the Spirit, which brings satisfaction, which brings joy, causes you to believe that there will be a fulfillment. That God is going to use this time that you're spending listening to his word to transform you, to change you, and to looking more and more like Jesus by the power of his Spirit. But I don't feel anything, Manny, you may say. I don't sense anything. I'm not excited. I don't have that dopamine hit that, you know, scrolling on TikTok gives me, or the excitement of, you know, like beating somebody in ping pong or foosball, or like they're watching whatever it is that you're watching, that kind of release of hormones inside of my body that makes me feel like I'm doing something productive. I don't sense that right now. That's okay. Do you trust God to make that come to pass according to His will when He desires it? Is this seed of His word, empowered by His Spirit, falling on the right soil that's going to bear fruit, not necessarily today, not necessarily next week, but in its own time? Right? This is what Mary believed. Mary believed when the angel told her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her and she will conceive a child in her womb when she had not known a man before. It didn't happen immediately. She had to wait 9 months. I'm pretty sure she had to wait a few months before it even started showing on her belly, right? In her belly. She didn't just have a child like that immediately. In its own time, what the Lord has spoken would be fulfilled, and she believed that. And this is why when Elizabeth is filled by the Holy Spirit, when she's under the influence or under the control of the Holy Spirit, sings out and says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Notice the second thing that Elizabeth sings about. She asks this question. Why? Why, verse 43, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth is not out there advertising this miracle that happened to her. Like, this huge miracle happened to her. And in fact, when we saw this 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, this is what chapter 1, verse 24. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden. And then 6 months later, Mary comes to her. This is the first time that she's been out and about. This is the first time she's invited somebody in, and then she's wondering why. It's the attitude of humility that we see here. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? Why do I get this privilege to get a visit from the Lord? I think we take that for granted, don't we? We take coming to church every Sunday for granted. We take having, I was listening to Kyle's sermon last week, and I called him on Monday to encourage him, and it really hit me. Like, you guys have no idea, and I'm not saying this because I'm behind the pulpit, and he's behind the pulpit, and he's my friend, he's my brother. Honestly, it's like, I don't know if you guys understand what kind of privilege you have to have God's word explained to you in a very vivid way, empowered by the Holy Spirit, honestly. It's not because it's God, it's not because it's me. Week in and week out, we start by God speaking to us. We start in the Bible, we sing the Bible, we explain the Bible, and you get to hear what God is speaking to you from a young age. And I said, dude, I think I may have used the word lucky, but because words fail me. How lucky you are. How lucky we all are. Because we take it for granted. We're like, we deserve this. But that's not the attitude of Elizabeth, who was filled by the Holy Spirit, saying, why do I even get this privilege to get this kind of visit? You know, if somebody allowed you access to, the most powerful person's bank account or influence for a day, you would make the most of it, wouldn't you? You would want to make the most of it. You wouldn't just say, yeah, I had this coming to me anyways, so I'm just going to let this time run out. But that's the attitude that we have for the most part when it comes to our faith in Jesus. Yeah, I know you're there. Yeah, you died for me on the cross. Yeah, you give me power and strength through your Spirit. Yeah, there's grace for me, but that's only reserved for Sundays in the morning. Oh, that's only reserved for the time that I spend whatever. The rest of my life is mine, but this is... But when you're filled by the Holy Spirit, when you live a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-controlled life that would lead you to joy, ultimately, it's joy, joy, joy. We see this, a baby leaped in her womb because he was filled with joy. We know that. He didn't just leap because it's just what babies do in the mother's womb. They just turn and toss and kick, right? It's not a biological kind of kick that she felt. This is actually for joy. So this theme of having joy, having happiness, having fulfillment that the Spirit of God fills you with, gives you, controls you by when you turn and look to Jesus is accompanied by a humble attitude, a humble heart, one that doesn't take things for granted. So this person and the work of the Holy Spirit that is presented to us here that we saw in verse 15 and 16 and we saw again in verse 35. It controls Elizabeth to express her humility. To express how the favor of God, the grace of God is given to her. That changes this personal status. When God gives you favor, He changes where you stand as a person. Before the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, she was just another virgin, betrothed to another man, living a normal life. But once the Holy Spirit controls her, once the Holy Spirit overshadows her, she becomes blessed among women. It changes. He changes the personal status of a person. Your being from inside out, you're changed. You're new. You're different. And the Spirit-filled joy produces a tangible fruit as well. And this kind of thing can only be received by faith. This kind of favor can only be received by faith. That's what verse 45 says. Blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. May the Lord give us this kind of faith. So we look to Jesus, or we look to Jesus, if I may come back to that point. Because only in Him that the Spirit-filled joy can be a part of your life. I want you to come and meet Jesus in this place, if you will. Not to break out in songs, but humility is necessary and faith is necessary. And you know who works that out in you? It's the Holy Spirit. So I want you to challenge yourself. I want you to take this as a... Do you have Holy Spirit filled or Holy Spirit led humility and faith that produces joy? Does that define your life? Overall, I'm not saying every part of your life. I'm not saying every intricate part of your friendships and your relationships and your school and your life. I'm saying overall, when you at a macro level, at a high level, when you look at your life, is that how you would define your life? Is that how others would define your life? Humility and trust in God. Or is it defined by pride and doubt and fear and anxiety? Which fills you more? And there's hope if it's the latter, that the Holy Spirit can and will, is powerful. He is powerful to give you a new life. He will overshadow you. He will fill you. He will control you. Just have to look to Jesus and ask Him who's able to give His Spirit to you so you may live a Spirit-filled, joy-filled life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before You for this privilege that we got from hearing to hear Your word. For the privilege that we have that Your Spirit will fill us, control us, and lead us into all truth. That He would show us Jesus. That when we encounter Jesus, that this joy will fill our hearts. This joy will be demonstrated in the way that we live our life. Father, would You cause our hearts to hold to this truth in faith? Would You cause us to trust in Your word and Your ability to accomplish what You have started in our life? Or would You let Your Spirit work in our lives so that we may be conformed into the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ? It is in His name we pray.